Let me speak a word on the greatness of Christ. The text, Acts chapter 10 and verse 36. He is Lord of all. The most immense thing that ever took place in this universe is that the Son of God became Son of Man. And the immensity of a believer's life is that we are brought into living union with one so great and pure and holy. The immensity of that union will be the more realized as we contemplate the greatness of Him to whom we are united. First of all, we see His greatness as the Son of God. Who is the image of the invisible God? Colossians 1:15. Thus the invisible God became visible. The incomprehensible became comprehensible. The far off became near. Being the express image of the Godhead, he could therefore say, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." John 14 verse 9. The greatness of his person makes for a humbling attitude upon the soul. Thus Abraham considered his greatness, and the sight of it reduced him, as it were, to dust and ashes. Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Genesis 18 verse 27. When we remember who he is, the maker of the world, the sovereign Lord of all, we can but be astonished that he should set his love upon such a vile thing as sinful man. Secondly, we look at his greatness as heir of all things. God has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Hebrews 1 and verse 2. He was that before the worlds were made, his Son. All things were made for him to exhibit his glory. Now they are redeemed for that same purpose, so that he might fill all things. All things are to revert to his control. Thus, those who have joined to him are made heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:17. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? James 2 and verse 5. Oh, blessed saints. Thirdly, we see his greatness as the hope of the ages. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Romans 8:20-21. Nations cry out in hope for the desire of all nations. Haggai 2:7. Individuals cry out in hope. They are prisoners of hope. Zechariah 9:12. The whole universe cries out in hope. There is an enigma, a puzzle, a quandary, a contradiction. There is something wrong with the whole universe, and it cries out in hope. Thus all is subject to hope. Romans 8:20. Nothing is left hopeless, but that hope is only in the Lord Jesus. Thou art my hope, O Lord, said the psalmist in Psalm 71 and verse 5. In Christ alone is hope, and in him. Hope for the universe. Hope for the nation. Hope for Israel. Hope for the Gentiles. Hope for sinners of all the earth. Only in Christ there is hope. Then fourthly, we see his greatness in the eyes of the Father. Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. John 17:24. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. John 10:17. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 3:17. He is spoken of as the Son of his love. Colossians 1:13. The Old Testament is full of images and figures of that love, which the Father has for his beloved Son, such as in Adam when God walked and talked with him in Eden, in Abraham, and his love of Isaac, to whom he gave all that he had, in Jacob's special love for Joseph, in God's love for Israel, all of which are faint reflections of God's love for his beloved Son. And then think of this, that in our union with Christ, he has said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. John 15:9. What an immense thing it is to be a true believer and to be loved of Christ as Christ is loved of the Father. Fifthly, you see his greatness in his own nature, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Hebrews 7:25. Holy, having absolute purity and holiness, which makes even the high seraphim to cover their faces with their wings, crying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Isaiah 6:3. Harmless, having no ill feeling toward man, even when mauled by the hands of wicked man. Undefiled, having no stain of dishonor upon his obedience and no imperfection in his love, either toward God or man. Separate from sinners, not of the same sinful stock, not from beneath, but from above. That he was so, was even acknowledged by demons who called him the Holy One of God. Mark 1:24. He was never touched by the curse of sin. Heaven knows it, earth knows it, hell knows it. No one has ever pointed to a flaw in his character. To become united to such a holy person as the Son of God is just another part of the immensity of being a Christian. Sixthly, we see his greatness in the work of redemption. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body upon the tree. 1 Peter 2:24. And how many sins has even one believer, since each sin has a measure of punishment attached to it? Who can measure the degree of punishment for all the sins of all his people? It is said of our Lord, that he should taste death for every man. Hebrews 2:9. Which means our Lord died millions of deaths in his one death. And since hell was the punishment he deserved, then he suffered millions of hell in that one cry. The pains of hell got a hold of me. Through his substitutionary sacrifice on the cross, he has obtained for his people the remission of sins, and brought them into an everlasting covenant, which assures that remission forever. Through that finished work of redemption, he has made it possible for God to give eternal life to as many as should believe on his name. His death upon the cross, and the shedding of his blood in the purchased price of the whole flock of God, a flock which is the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Acts 20:28. Deep, vast, immense, unfathomable. Lord, profound. as the hymn says. Then we look at his greatness in the bestowment of grace. Personal unworthiness is no obstacle to his so great salvation. None can find him either unwilling or unable to save. Oh, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, without money and without price. Isaiah 55 verse 1. So again, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. John 7, 37. No form of vileness nor present unworthiness can bar the way to the Savior Jesus. He comes with refreshments and comforts of saving grace to all who come to him. His mercy and his grace are so great and so incomparably sweet. Oh, listen to the words of Nicholas von Zinzendorf, translated by John Wesley. O Lord, enlarge our scanty thought to know the wonders thou hast wrought. Unloose our stammering tongues to tell thy love immense, unsearchable. How can it be, thou heavenly King, that thou shouldst us to glory bring? Make slaves the partners of thy throne, decked with a never fading crown. Our hearts then melt, our eyes o'erflow. Our words are lost, nor will we know, nor will we think of all beside. My Lord, my love, is crucified. Firstborn of many brethren thou, to thee, Lord, all our heart, our souls we bow. To thee our hands and hearts we give. Thine may we die. Thine may we live. Amen and amen. Amen.